The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Mexico Open. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, good day.
What's going on, guys? It was a golf tournament this week. That is for sure. I'm excited to talk about it.
It was a golf tournament. Okay, great. Greg Charm is here. Greg, it was a golf tournament.
Yeah, I think you were going to say what a week. It felt like you were going down that path. But I'll say it. It's got to be said. What a week. Jake Knapp, pretty cool. A lot of us in the business were on him this week. He stepped up and played a great first three rounds. So it was cool to watch him. Beyond that, beyond the leaders, it was a golf tournament. A little slow, but pretty good up top.
Mark Immelman is here. He is sporting is that an international hat? I don't think I've seen that one before.
I haven't.
Yeah, buenas noches, amigos. I figured given we were down in Mexico, I've got to go with the International President's Cup team. And this was some of the gear from Charlotte. It was actually available in the merchandising tent. And the USA one had USA on the front naturally. And the INT in the golden black was our guys. So, yeah.
Huh. It kind of looks like a hat my boy Kenny Pickett would wear, unfortunately.
Yeah, but INT, baby.
INT. I just got that.
It's like pretty good. All right, gents, this was, or at least could have been, a Jake Knapp coronation. Let me tell you, Patrick, didn't happen because a bogey on one, a bogey on three, fails to take advantage of the par 5-6th, all while Sammy Valimaki makes birdie on four, eagle on seven, and what was once a four-shot lead, a zero-shot lead as they stepped on the eighth tee.
For as smooth and free-flowing as that swing was from Jake Knapp the first 3 days, oh boy, it was It was not great early. I mean, the first tee obviously left. Number two, he got very lucky not to crawl into the trees with his tee shot and made a nice par there. The third hole, I mean, that looked like one of me out there, to be honest with you. He wasn't even close to touching land. That was straight left. But to his credit, he held pat, showed a lot of resolve, and kind of looked inward and said, hey, after seven holes, I'm still tied for the lead. Even though it was horrible first few holes, it's a two-man race between me and Slammy Valimaki. And he got himself to the back nine with a real chance to win, obviously. And we all know what happened then.
I can only imagine, Greg, how fast the world is spinning for you when you're, you know, a handful of starts onto the PGA Tour. You've probably not slept, but if you slept at all, you slept on four shots and everybody, like, you know, putting the crown on your head. How could you blow a four shot lead? Four shots. Come on. And then it disintegrates instantly. I would be woozy with how fast that was going.
Yeah. And this, I mean, it's such a dramatic turnaround, right? You think about all the categories he was leading the field heading into the final round. I mean, driving distance, strokes gained approach, greens of regulation, proximity to the hole, total birdies, par four scoring, par three scoring. I mean, he was leading the field in everything. It was almost a clean sweep. And all of a sudden, he can't find a fairway. He can't find a swing. He can't find a green. There was nothing working. And I mean, you even look at some of these distance numbers. I mean, he was, if you look at all holes the first 3 days, he's basically right at 310. And today, all of a sudden, it's 15 yards shorter, right? That's not a great sign. Little speed drop, little club selection changes here and there. Maybe got to go to a little more conservative strategy. In the two driving distance holes, he was first yesterday in driving distance, 31st today, like a 33-yard drop in distance. Hit nine greens today, leading the field heading in. So a lot of things fell apart for him. With the stuff that, like Rick, we talked about him on Monday. He was a great play this week, but not for what we saw today. He was a great play for what we saw the first couple of days because of his ball striking ability. And that's not what he leaned on today.
Mark, that very confident swing, that guy who was stomping around Vedanta Vallarta for the first 3 days was a little more timid on Sunday. You could almost see it in his body language, see it in his face. It just didn't feel like the same guy. Now, the counterpoint of all of that is obviously what you did in the first 3 days allowed for this luxury, right? That this is why we add him up. We add him up after 72. If this was just the final 18, it wouldn't be Jake Knapp's trophy, but it is.
Yeah. Couple things, 7 of 9 scrambling today. I mean, we can talk about the ball striking. So he gets it up and down nearly every single time he's missed. And that's admirable when it's under pressure. But I've always found it curious how a lot of folks, when they're handicapped players, kind of look at a situation when they're like, all right, if anyone's going to fall down Sunday, because Sunday's hit different on the PGA Tour, it's going to be with a short game. I've always, as a golf swing instructor, sort of looked at the thing and go, you know, golf swings aren't automatic deals. There's so many moving parts. And with someone with a speed like a Jake Knapp, if something's just marginally off, then all of a sudden the cat's thrown amongst the pigeons in a way. And so it's always tough to manage a golf swing. Then you got some winds and you got some pressure coming at you and you're playing with a lead. It was a grind. And I know things turned around, but this sort of stuff happens. And I have to commend him for the way he hung on and the way he scrambled to earn his win. Because in my opinion, this is just opinion, you can have at me if you want. If this was a different type of golf course with more punitive rough, with faster greens that were smaller, I don't think, well, he didn't have much pressure on him, but I don't think he wins. I certainly don't, because you cannot drive the ball as wide as what he did on a Sunday on the PGA Tour and win. It just doesn't happen. But kudos to him. He found a way. And you know, oftentimes that first win is the most difficult one. They say the second one is the hardest because you have to now justify the fact that you're not a fluke winner. He's got the game. We know this. But I'll tell you what, with all that money in his back pocket now and with the fact that he's in the signature events, now he's going to go to his coach, Dana Dahlquist, and go, right, there's some stuff we're going to tighten up, because today I had to battle to get this thing over the line. But 10 out of 10, well done.
You know, on that short game, Mark, you mentioned 7 and 9 scrambling. If you include par fives, he had 9 up and downs today. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's half the holes.
Yep.
And 2 of them were failed, right? Now you're at 11.
Yeah, and you know what's going to grind my gears a little bit, because, look, I love to watch him swing it. He's syrupy. Look, he's freaking powerful. I watched him in San Diego. He can move it through the air. But the swing's going to get all the love. If you watch the PGA Tour account and you watch everyone, they're all going to be talking about Jake Knapp's golf swing, right? And they have been doing it. But his skill around the greens today was real stuff, man. That was Spieth-ian in a way at times to me.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm saying whoa. Come at me.
I will not come at you for if it was a different golf course, Jake Knapp would not win, because he won it. I think on 16, he was lined up left in that fairway 71 yards wide, and he missed the fairway right. just to go where his swing was, but to compare him to Jordan Spieth around the greens,
that's a step too far. I was getting excited there. Forgive me. I'll stand down, Your Honor.
He
did what he had to do. I'll compare him to Jordan Spieth off the tee. Two fairways, Patrick.
Dude, he got everything out of those two fairways too, because you look on number two, it's amazing to me looking back on his round that he only lost one golf ball. Number two easily could have found the trees. Number 10, he kind of necked that mini driver that he has, finishes short of the water hazard after Valimaki hits it in the water. And then number 14 as well, where he blows it way right. It hits right of the golf cart path, bounces left inside the tree line. So he has a way to the green and makes birdie there. And it was just, for as good as he hit it the first 3 days, today was just the polar opposite. And you add in the distance numbers that Greg was mentioning, and it's unbelievable.
I want to say this, that downturn in the distance off the tee, not only, Patrick, were these things wide, they weren't struck out of the middle of the face, because if he had squared one or two of those puppies up, they might have been out of port of a yacht. Yeah, there was a bunch of mishit balls, and it's the worst place to be for a golfer. You know, you guys have all been there when you just don't feel like you can get the club back to the ball. And then you're in the final group and you're playing for what's your biggest win of your career. It's a horrible place to be. I would contend it's almost worse than standing over 5, 6, 7, 8 foot putts and not feeling like you can make them. Because when you're standing there with 200 something into a wind and you don't know if you're going to square this up, that is horrible on your nerves.
Yeah, and it's a wide golf course, but you're thankfully. Like, I don't know if I could keep it in play. Like, the trees, I mean, these fairways are 70 yards wide at times, at least between the tree. Like, you should not have tree trouble out there. And he did at times.
And if you miss fairways too, it's not like you know, the ball's nestling down and you're guessing on whether you're getting a jumper or not. That paspalum just sits it up like it's on a tee most of the time. So getting it from there to the putting surface it's not easy by any stretch, but it's certainly not like it could be when we head down the Florida swing now.
According to Justin Ray, since we started keeping track of fairways, nobody has ever hit two or fewer fairways in the final round and won on the PGA Tour until today, because Jake Knapp just did it. Now, what I think is interesting here is that Sammy Valimaki was really the only one pushing it, which is why this thing got interesting, Patrick. I mean, Knapp finished 5 shots clear of third. The guy that he cannot shake is Valimaki, who ends up finishing 2 shots off the lead. It gets obviously very tense late and even more tense on 18. He blows one way right. It's up against the boundary fence. He ends up having to take, he has to take a drop, and he ends up making par, but that's obviously going to finish his chances for winning this event.
I thought for a second my boy Chan Kim had a path there. He got off to a nice start.
They cut to him. So it was, I don't remember what the, maybe he was at 13 under and they cut to him to get to like 14 under or something. And Knapp is just vomiting all over himself. And I'm thinking, oh my God, Chan Kim, this is gonna come together here.
Yeah. And then the first full shot I saw of him was lacing one left into the water on the par 39th. So quickly put that to bed, but it was a dream start for Sammy Valimaki, both because of Knapp's struggles and because, I mean, he put the heat on him. He sensed some uncomfortableness from the leader, and he added a really nice birdie on 4, which is one of the more difficult holes there. I think if he had one back that he wanted on the front 9, it would have been that birdie putt on the par 5-6 that he missed. But he bounced back immediately and hit an unreal drive to 6 feet on 7 to tie this thing up. And going in the back 9, just given the trajectories of both their days, you probably sit there and think Sammy Valimaki is going to win this golf tournament.
There were a couple, looking at that front 9, Patrick, it's like when you're 4 back, if he makes the putt on three, which is 17 feet, I'm not saying he should have made it, but you're four shots back, that, and your opponent has just rinsed it in the water that shouldn't even really be in play. Like, that is a opportunity to really change things. He misses that one, does get it back at four, and six, it was a 6-footer that he missed. And you think about how different this would have been, what Jake Knapp's world that was already spinning would have felt like if he had those three, you know, those two opportunities, and he's at, what'd he shoot, 32? If he shot 30 going out, which is, I mean, it's a 6-footer and a 16-footer. It's a big step, but that's what you got to do when you're four back. I think he would have won this tournament. Actually, probably either one of those go down, and he probably wins this tournament, because it would just be, it would be too much for Knapp, who wasn't really able to make a lot of birdies because he couldn't hit it close. You know, he had to rely on short game the entire time. So just a little more from Valimaki early could have really turned the world upside down for Knapp.
I saw, Greg, a number on Knapp's proximity. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was in the 60-foot range today on approach shots. And average on the tour is about 32-ish, I would say, proximity-wise. But you know what?
I'll tell you.
I couldn't help but watch. I've seen Valimaki play before in South Africa, where he contended one time. And then I watched him some. He was not in our show, Torrey Pines, but he was in the group that I was covering. And he's a big, burly guy, almost he and Jake Knapp. To me, I like the prototypical PGA Tour player, where you just got to hit it big one week. You got to catch lightning in a bottle, and you get your win, hopefully, and then you're out of there, kind of thing. Because both of their games are, there's good stuff, but I wouldn't say consistency is the hallmark of it all. And as I've watched Valimaki before, with the way he swings it, he's a victim to this wide right. And when he made that run on the front side, I'm like, okay, this is cool. It's becoming a thing. But that tee shot on 10 is freaking impossible. And you're playing it into a quartering left to right breeze. And for a right-hander who fights a blocked cut, that is like purgatory, man. You are 1 foot from hell as a golfer standing over the top of the thing. And lo and behold, he stands there and is late on the thing and blocks it in the water. And I'm like, oh, goodness, here we go. And then he pulled off the one on 16 because that was a similar shot with a similar wind with trouble on the right, and he hit a good one. But then on 18, he goes and stands one up and blocks it off to the right-hand side too. So it's also, for him, good news, because it's something that he can work on, because he's proven now he's got the chops to compete. So now he sort of knows, okay, when I'm under pressure, this is my shot. This is where I'm going to clean something up. Even if I don't change my golf swing, develop some sort of a go-to that I can keep the thing in play. And then from there, at least not, you know, put fives and sixes and stuff on the scorecard when I'm in contention, you know.
It definitely felt like he was saving it. Like, he makes some swings where he is really trying to protect against the right. And it was, by the way, 60 feet, 11 inches for Knapp. And heading into the day, he led in that field, in that category. And it was either, it was, I believe, 31 feet, which was leading. So, I mean, almost doubled his proximity today.
Don't you team no putt dudes ever come off of me that story again, where the guy's going to flush it on a Sunday. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
I saw Sammy Valimaki, Patrick, do something I don't think I remember seeing anybody else do, which is when you blast it to the right up against the boundary fence and the official comes over, you ask him for a score update, which he asked to confirm the score, which at first it sounded like he wanted to know how far back behind Jake Knapp was, which I think he knew. I think he was actually asking, how much space do I have to third, which was three shots, because he's thinking, can I get away with making a double here? How stupid can I be? Which I thought was pretty savvy. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody ask a scoring official what the scores are before.
Did my boy Patrick Cantlay do that the final hole at the Shriners when he blew up with Tom Kim?
People maybe do it more than they do it more than you think. I mean, they are asking us constantly. My spotter on the course, Craig, he's getting questions from caddies and players nonstop because he's out in front of me a little bit. So yeah, it happens.
I think Patrick, I remember what you're saying. I think he and his caddy definitely talked about it. I don't know if he asked a rules official about it, which
okay.
I yeah. as he's taking his drop process.
Yeah. The Bagman Cantlay, of course. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton to play for, not just winning this week. And I know this tournament in general, we make fun of it because, I mean, you have the pillow fight of the final group. It was like kind of an Sunday, to tell you the truth, outside of the, you know, sort of drama. But these are golf tournaments that are needed. They create stars. Who knows if Jake Knapp is going to turn into a star? I mean, he's 29. He's an older rookie for sure. But we see it all the time. Look back at last year. I was looking through Wyndham Clark's stat profile today. Last year, he played in Corrales. That's how far he's come in a year. Wyndham Clark played in Corrales last year. And now he holds probably three of the best trophies on the PGA Tour. So I know it didn't work out for Sammy, but a lot of these guys, like Ben Silverman, who didn't really have a great final day, and everyone inside the top 10, a lot of those DP World Tour guys, Bob McIntyre finally flashed something. There's a lot of play for in a top 10 finish, and obviously a lot of money got people into the Cognizant last week. And for Valimaki, the DP World Tour guys are kind of showing up so far in 2024.
Big time.
Well, let's talk about some of those guys at T3, Steven Yeager, CT Pan, Justin Lauer, and Greg. Let's talk about Yeager because we talk a lot about him on Mondays and we ask a similar question. What is his ceiling? Are we getting closer to finding out an answer to that question?
Yes, we are. And I think it's pretty clear now that Wynn is certainly available to him. He has what it takes to win on the PGA Tour. And you think about what he's worked on and its driving distance. And you see on a golf course like this, you see on a golf course like Torrey Pines, how much of an advantage that is. And this week Steven Yeager led the field in driving distance on the two hole measurement. On all holes, he was fourth. So that's a huge weapon that he's developed. And all of a sudden, you're starting to see that same consistent performance throughout the bag. He gained strokes in every single area. Nothing aside from the distance really stands out, but that's what he's done for a long time. And now the statistical profile, which where the finishes weren't really matching up, now all of a sudden they're starting to match up. And I think it's a really good sign for Steven Yeager. He's getting close.
This is an event with some headliners. We're going to hit those notables. We are going to talk more about the way that our bets broke down for this week, put a result recap on those. And then, of course, we will look at the one and done standings. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
And we're back. Let's hit some notables. And Mark, we're going to start with Tony Finau here. It was a Sunday 68, which completes four rounds in the 60s. He ends up finishing T13, but he was just never in it. He was just kind of at arm's length for the entirety of this event.
I am curious, and I have not asked Boyd Summerays about this, but Tony's golf swing's getting to a place where there's just so much shape between the backswing and the downswing going on. And he carries a very, very weak left-hand grip, which means the left hand's turned to the side of the club. And through contact, he leads the face as much as anybody through contact. So he's always playing slightly open-faced as a result. And then he's got this big shallowing move. And to me, I'm like, I'm waiting for the right shot. And lo and behold, I'm watching on Thursday morning. He's my one and done pick. He gets to number 8. Rick, I complained about this Sunday night. Wind in off the left. There's kingdom come down the left-hand side there. And he's late on one and blocks it in the middle of the water. And then whenever I watched him, he would make some headway, get some traction. And all of a sudden, late and right on something as well. So I don't know if he's in the midst of something. So I'm not going to sit here and be critical. Because last year, this time at this event, is the best I've ever seen him swing it. I actually, on Sunday, prior to the final round, went up to him. I'm like, dude, you mind if I get some footage? And so I videoed his swing from both sides because he looked sublime. This year, there's a whole lot. If you watch the shaft going back and where it is coming down, there's a lot of differential between that stuff. And, you know, he said he wants to start going faster, and we saw that. But with all that stuff and with the shaft being a little late and the face playing open, if you add speed to that equation, it could get dicey. So I'm curious. I felt like there was good stuff, but there was a little too much inconsistency for someone who should be, you know, contending for events whenever he plays.
Yeah, that's a really interesting analysis. And Patrick, was it you who last night said he's got that putter toe back down?
It's down.
Earth's surface as opposed to the stratosphere?
Big Tone's toe has surfaced on the putting greens.
The Big Tone, as we like to call it, is backed out. Well, also there, Patrick, T13 was Maverick McNealy. 70, 70, 67, 66. He made 5 birdies on his outward 9 on Sunday. He did exactly what we would expect him to, finishing 12th in the field in putting this week, but he was 6th in strokes gained off the tee. He's looking healthy. We have not learned, in my opinion, who Mav McNealy is, but he basically lost an entire year because of that injury.
What we do know is he is a pilot. And I will say this is the second straight tournament where we think about Maverick McNealy. Like you said, he's the best putter on the PGA Tour, ranked number 1 in strokes gained putting last year in the limited starts he had. But the ball striking's returned. He hit the ball fantastic in Phoenix. He did so again this week. It's a bit of a shame. It came kind of towards the end of the California swing. Felt like Mav, given his ties to that state and Stanford, would have had a little bit of a better run, but it's exciting to see. And he's a guy who obviously was really highly touted out of Stanford, matching Tiger Woods records for wins. It just hasn't materialized for one reason or another on the PGA Tour. And given the amount of first time winners we're seeing, maybe he picks one off here soon.
That was like a subtle call there, Patrick. Hey,
No. I got my call for next week. It's Keith Mitchell. Just, you know, wait on that though.
Oh boy. Okay. let's recap some of our calls from this week. Josh, do we have our grid that we can share with the people? So a couple of matchups went begging. Those are pushes. Pendrith and Dietrich both missed the cut, I believe. Greg, you found Brandon Wu over Ryan Fox. That was not even a sweat for you because Ryan Fox did not make the weekend. Brandon Wu finished T13.
Yes, plays very well here. So that's now a tied second, third, and a T13. Pretty good record in Mexico for Brandon Wu. He's hitting the ball really well. And the thing keeping him out of contention this week was just a bad first round. So it was really nice to see him get back on board with the 67 and the second round, make the cut and move his way right up the leaderboard, even though all he had to do was make the cut.
Kyle had Parker Cootie to finish inside the top 30. He did that. Mark, you did the thing where you the guy who wins at some much less finishing position. You could have gone 29 spots upwards.
I could have. Well, look, we've all learned better now. But the thing about Jake, because I went for the top 30, I thought that was a steal. You know, like I said about the golf swing and stuff, there's still a little growing up to do there. And so I always felt like, you know, he had perhaps one sort of crazy day in him. And thankfully for him, that crazy day happened after he had played like a superstar for three rounds. So, yeah, I mean, I'm remiss at that, but I'm still just glad to finally win a bet.
Yes, they all help. And I actually have a confession to make here. I have to come clean. Producer Josh has marked Joseph Bramlett top 30 as a win for me because why not? He was in it for the entirety of this event until the second nine on Sunday, where he shot a 39, including a double bogey on 17. He made par on 18, a hole that he should crush. And he shot a 74 and he finished T38. So Josh, as much as I appreciate you trying to cook the books for me, we're going to have to switch that one.
That's an L.
Classy move, Rick. Classy move. Right. I know you're talking cooking the books. I know you're not a McKinsey alum, so we appreciate it.
Rick, you know, not just a pretty face. You got all of that substance about you. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I lose that Joseph Bramlett wager. We do not have Jake Knapp amongst our outrights. Mark had him, obviously, that finishing position as well. And then we went 2-2 in our best bets. The winners, Doug Gim, top 20. Doug Gim's playing some pretty darn good golf.
Yeah, he is.
That was Kyle. He finished T8 for plus 200. And Greg, you found another guy playing great golf. You had Stephen Yeager inside the top 20. We already talked about him finishing T3. So you had yourself a pretty good week here.
Yeah, automatic, unbeaten in the best bets. That's why they're called best bets. I'm just teasing. But one for one's a nice place to be. And, you know, my other finishing position was Davis Thompson, top 20. Kind of you have him, Mark. He was all over our board. And he finished one shot out of top 20. He made a double bogey today at 8, driving me crazy. Almost a really solid week, but not quite.
Now, Patrick, we didn't get a chance to have you on Tuesday, so we didn't get a positivity parlay. But I imagine it would have been Jake Knapp to win, Sammy Valamaki to finish second, Stephen Yeager top 5, et cetera, et cetera.
You know me too well, Rick. I do have a question. I don't know if anyone knows this, but given Doug Gim's current form, is he in the Players' Championship? Because he always pops up there.
I can, if you give me like 25 seconds, I can probably find out.
Okay, that's good. But actually, I do have a funny story.
Okay, we could do that, or we can also talk about Bradley in the chat said Patrick's hair is underrated, which I disagree with. I think it is very highly rated, and I think everyone understands that. I can't imagine anyone that's underrating it.
I appreciate that, Bradley. Joe Musso and myself actually talk about products quite often when we're in the green room on HQ, but a story about Doug Gim, I was watching the Junior PGA Championship back in the day when Doug Gim was playing. God bless his mother. I was starving. Gave me a pack of pretzels. I've been a Doug Gim fan ever since.
Wow.
The moms always have snacks in their purses. Mm-hmm. It's a good move. Doug Gim is in the Players. Yes.
Okay. Top 40 finished. Lock it in.
There you go. Put it down, Josh. That's Patrick's best bet for the Players.
His line in Vegas has just gotten worse. Thank you.
Patrick's line mover McDonald. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, gents. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We've got to put a bow on our one and done for this week. We're going to do that. But first, we'll take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
The one and done. Josh, release the board. Show the people what happened. That is what happened. These are unofficial. So when everything gets locked up, you know, the tie splits, all that stuff, you'll see it on Monday morning. But here is essentially, oh, those are the updated standings. Those are
Patrick.
Yeah, that's not earnings for 1 week.
I got a little excited when I saw 1.8 million next to Maverick Neely's name. That's not true. So here's the
whole year.
Here are the payouts. That's the whole year.
Patrick. Hey, Patrick. What up?
Yeah.
Sorry, someone was calling me.
Now in the basement, thanks to 18,792 from Nikolai Højgaard.
Look, I think a point you just made is very important for the listeners to realize. These are unofficial standings. These are unofficial standings. So I'm over this season already. This is miserable. I haven't had a guy like sniff like the top 10 even. I think my best guy has been like a T18 at the Sony. It's just been so bad.
Yeah, it's not. You're not even to a million.
Oh,
What's really sad is you're still in the. I mean, you're a week away.
I'm an East Coast guy, Greg. Bermuda, bent grass. Get me off Poana, Paspalum. Ew. I don't need that. So,
do you know Patrick who has earned you the most money this year?
Is it Brian Harmon?
No.
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah. Patrick Cantlay got you $450,000 at the Century, which was a signature no cut event. And your best finish was eighth. That was Adam Scott in Phoenix, $248,000.
That was a pretty good pick.
That's a good play. Yeah. So that's basically all the money you've made.
Yeah.
Correct. Those two.
Yeah. That's right, Greg.
I need to go back to back at the API and players. That's my only chance for the entire year.
Well, I don't think that's true. But Mark has already puffed out his chest because he has moved from sixth to fifth thanks to Tony Finau's $143,000.
Onwards and upwards. I was disappointed at Finau with that this week, but I'll take it. I was just looking through my picks that have been all over the board. I've got all cuts made. But haven't really made a splash. My biggest splash has been Morikawa in a signature event at LA last week. So just like Patrick, I need a big run now through these signature events in Florida.
Mark has seven selections. Six of them have made over $100,000, but none have made more than 251,000. So you're
I've got a goose egg for the first one in the season. Remember that one?
Yeah, you're living in that
cut event.
11th to 19th world right now.
Need a, last year I think I had five winners. I need a little mojo change here.
Well, don't get you know, you don't have to start anytime soon. You can wait a little bit. Greg, you also had Tony Finau. Josh also had Tony Finau. So 143,000 there across the board. Greg, you are solidly in fourth. You're $500,000 clear of Mark. You're $200,000 behind Kyle.
I feel like my results have been similar to Mark, just with eight starts. It feels like,
yeah,
top 20s, but not really top 10s, which is fine. It's a little frustrating. And when we look at the overall board, it's like just kind of getting lapped. So I need a win, a win, maybe run off a couple of 1-2 finishes over the next, you know, 13 weeks or so. That'd be nice.
I mean, there's like hundreds of millions of dollars left to be earned. So
right. It just feels like we're like creeping on it. But yeah, what we learned last year with the designated signature events, consistency is not the game. Like I would be 3 years ago, this would be, I'd be right on path. Do this all year, good chance of winning. Now, today's day, and with all these purses, doesn't work.
Not this year. Indeed. I got 143,000 from Matt McNeely. Great.
A win. That's a win.
I'll take that. I'm still second. Josh has made $2 million. I'm at 1.8. Kyle at 1.7. Greg 1.5. Mark at 1 million. And Patrick at 951,000. The crazy thing, gentlemen, that there were, I hate to say this, 14 Jake Knapp selections.
Jeez.
Lord. Erroneous.
That's why.
We should get those dudes on the show. I mean, I was good with a top 30 for him. Not a win. Yeah.
This is not good. It took me until May to freak out last year, picking Ricky Fowler at the PGA Championship. I'm going to barely make it to March.
One of them has a username that I can't repeat on air. And then we did have one. There was one Sammy Valamaki selection.
Wow.
Is that more surprising? Hey, by the way, while you're sharing this useful information, mm-hmm, my dad is not wine lover Johan, by the way.
Okay, there's another wine loving Johan. There is.
Yeah, you must hit us in the chat. I'd like to meet you.
Yes, let us know. Expose yourself. We want to hear from you. So unofficially, OK Boomer has the lead at 5.4 million already.
Ay.
It's not a bad first quarter.
There are three different users over 5 million. Now, actually, they didn't make up that much ground. Pat Sullivan did have Steven Yeager, but okay. Let's see. The big boy team, remember them? He had Højgaard in Mexico, so he only got 19,000. So he didn't extend or anything.
It's a good pick.
Me and Patrick were hanging out in Charleston drinking on before Tuesday.
That's a good pick.
I'm going to find here's what I want to do. I want to find the person who has made at least every selection who is in the farthest down. How about, might be Jeff. Nope. No, it's not you.
While you're looking, I do want to say this. The guy in 10th, you have my admiration. In the era where people are mixing up your and your with the spelling, at least he's got your, obviously not a golfer, properly spelled. So that is settling with my soul.
He's just missing an apostrophe, right, Mark?
Exactly. I'm watching though. I'm that guy.
How about this? I feel bad for French Dip. French Dip has made $101,000 making seven selections. Sony, Lucas Glover, fine, misses the cut. Steven Yeager at the Amex, Patrick Cantlay at the Farmers, Xander Schauffele at the AT&T, Sung Jae-im in Phoenix, the DQ from Jordan Spieth at the Genesis.
Wow.
And then Nikolai Højgaard this week. That, without knowing any of those results, that is a path a lot of people could have gone down.
Yes.
Some different, I mean, Patrick's burner, I'm sure about it.
You would think French Dip would take Matthew Pavone.
You would think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's he doing?
Yeah. Zero sympathy in that case.
Yeah.
That's the other fun part, where you have like 1,000 people in here, that there are, so there are some oddities for sure. Okay, gentlemen, well, listen, we're headed to Florida. We're going to go to Florida. We're going to play the event formerly known as the Honda Classic. Rory McIlroy is going to be in the field. Ricky Fowler, who is a past champion, is going to be in the field. We're going to go to Bermuda for the first time. It should be a lot of fun. Any final thoughts before we get out of here and just put a bow on Mexico?
Yeah. I got one. Mark, you go.
I'm on the call on the mainstream on PGA Tour Live at like 6:45 a.m. on Thursday morning at the Cognizant Classic. Come join us.
Beautiful. We will be there.
My father played PGA last week, last Thursday. Shot 89.
Wow.
Shot like a 20 handicap. So yeah. I'm putting a challenge out to any PGA Tour players. If you do not beat my father, you must relinquish your PGA Tour card.
Your dad shot a 20 at PGA. Your dad shot an 89 at PGA National as a 20. That's like got to be his best round of the year.
It's among them. Yes.
Yeah.
That brings up a good question. We should have a little round table here. What highest score at PGA National this week?
Who's going to do it? Or what do we think it's going to be?
What the score is.
Somebody's going to put like six balls in the water.
And that adds up to
89. 83.
86. Already, Patrick says 83.
It's par 70.
Yeah, I'm going 80.
I'll say 82.
Damn. I'm going
$1.
I'm gonna pick something different. I'm going 81. I'm rating PGA Tour players.
So what did you say, Mark? 81.
81. Yeah.
Greg, what did you say? 82. I don't like that I went as high as I did. It is a par 71 this year, Greg. They're changing 10 from a 508 yard par 4 to a 530 yard par 5.
Okay. Good hole.
Yeah, it's still a good hole. You're right.
Good par 4, but it'll be a good par 5 too. They'll all reach it. Yep. I guess it doesn't really matter much. Probably brings 86 more into play.
Yeah, do you understand if Kyle was on the show now, we'd be talking about the fact that par is a construct and it should abolish the thing immediately.
And you just did it for him. You have been infected with the Kyle virus. And he just got you. He just got you to say it.
Got to go walk it off now.
Yeah. Tough. Mm. Okay. Anything else? That was good. Good one, Patrick. Very well done.
Yeah. I'm excited for Honda.
It's a good field.
Cognizant, excuse me. It's a good field. It's a hard golf course. It is completely different. I mean, imagine if Jake Knapp was playing PGA National today.
He wouldn't have a PGA Tour card based on the rule I just said.
I'm not poking for the guy. He won on the PGA. I'm just saying there's like a lot of golf courses on the PGA Tour and on the West Coast swing allow for errancy. And this one, it's just not accepted. You cannot do it at PGA National. So I can't wait to watch.
I seem to recall, I'm speaking off the top of my head and I'm zipping through the golf course, but I think there's water in play in more than 2/3 of the holes around that place.
The official count is 15. I went through them, I counted 16. So there must be one that like they don't think is in play, but maybe with my game it's in play. But there are it's either 15 or 16 holes where water's in play.
And look out for it. I had a gratuitous promotion here, releasing an Eric Cole podcast tomorrow morning. You know, because remember, he made his big splash last year
at
this event, and it turned into a Rookie of the Year. And it was fascinating to hear him talk about going through holes like the Bear Trap under pressure. It's that stretch of golf is real. It really is.
What did your dad shoot in the bear trap, Patrick?
I don't know, but he did birdie 10. I don't know if that was the par four or par five, though.
It's a five for the members, so it's probably a okay. five.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. All right, well, we will be back Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the Cognizant Classic. Big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Patrick McDonald. You can find him at P. McDonald, CBS, Greg Ducharme, at The Real, GFD, Mark Immelman, at Mark _ Immelman, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.